morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is February 15th, 2022. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by A Curious Future. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "You've got to love yourself first. You've got to be okay on your own before you can be okay with somebody else," by Jennifer Lopez. It actually reminds me of something my mom told me once. I grew up in the country, and like, that's not to say that like relationships are worse out there, but yeah, I don't know. You see a lot out there, right? And I remember when I was growing up, my mom said to me, she said, "I want you to have a life where you can support yourself and take care of yourself before you try to add anyone into it." And that just like always made a lot of sense to me. And I think it's still pretty much how I live my life. You know, when I have friends who are like much younger than me, or like real, like, you know, like in their early, like early 20s, I always think, I'm like, I am just now at like an emotional maturity and have an understanding of myself where I could even think to expose someone else to me. You know what I mean? In like a real way. I was like, I can't imagine doing it when you're so young, before you like really know who you are and you've worked through your trauma and your damage, and before you understand like emotional maturity and all of that. So I don't know, something she said to me, it always stuck, and I still really, really feel that way. So let's talk about our tea. What are we drinking today? We are drinking Moonflower Tea. This is an ode to the May full moon. So you're like, Tanya, well then why didn't you talk about it in May? I might, you don't know. Flower moon pulls in the beauty of the moon. Lavender has long history of medicinal, culinary, and household uses. It is sweet and floral and fragrant, and it is soothing and relaxing. Combined with the classic blend of Earl Grey's citrus and a hint of creme, this black tea blend is sure to become a quiet favorite. So yeah, it's very easy. This is black tea, lavender, orange, blue, cornflowers, vanilla, and bergamot. I love it. I love it. So we are going to talk today about orange. So citrus magic, and this comes to us from davyandtracy.com, and this was written by Davy Russell. So the spiritual benefits of orange. Or citrus. Well, this page is on citrus. If you're curious, it'll give you all of it. But orange is joy, happiness, purification, money, and luck. I think we talked a few months ago about the chocolate oranges, which were all about, in the deep winter, hoping for the sun again. Please come back. So that's kind of the sun. It's joy, happiness, excitement, the sun. Everything the sun invokes is the orange. So you want to use it in that sense for your celebrations and your magical uses. If you need brightness and joy and happiness and hope, I think orange is really good for that. All right. So I read nothing from the page, but whatever. All right. Moving into some headlines. I just thought this was a fun one. It is 6 acts of self-love to try this holiday. And this comes to us from Luxeters.com. So practice self-love this Valentine's. It's a perfect time to reconnect with yourself. And you're like, Tanya, Valentine's was yesterday. Get with it. But you know what? I've said it once, I'll say it again. I believe holidays are the season of and the time of. I don't believe we just do it on one day, you know? I had a Palentine's Day / superb owl party on Sunday, and they just happened, the holidays happened to fall on the same day. So we did a half Galentine slash Palentine's Day party and a slash superb owl party. So it's about the season. It's the season of love. So Valentine's Day encourages us to consider how our love life correlates with our self-worth. And we see that a lot with people, like I said yesterday, who put a lot of stock in Valentine's Day. Like, there's people who hate it. And my thought is, like, if you hate it, like, what happened? Like, what's the story? Because I've got to know. So when people correlate love to self-worth, that is where we get a lot of these big feelings, right? These big feelings that we struggle to deal with. So how can we kind of combat this? Self-love. The word of for self-love was the one I couldn't say yesterday, so I'm not even going to try. But here are some fun things you can do this season. You can read. Reading is an easy way to perform self-love as you can expand your mind and learn about the world or escape to a fictional one. Take yourself on a walk. Taking a walk alone is a perfect way to slow down and have some time for yourself. When we are not at work, we may feel pressure to socialize with friends and family, but sometimes time to yourself is just really what you need. Take yourself on a date. I talk about this all the time. Doing things alone is crucial to self-development. As individuals, we are worthy of nice experiences, and we are worthy of doing them alone. Take yourself to the cinema, sit at a coffee shop, read in the afternoon, cook yourself an exciting meal. You don't need a companion to do nice things or to have nice things. Take a class. Oh, I love skill classes. Learning a new skill or reigniting a passion can help give you a sense of purpose and enjoyment in life. Go plant shopping. Filling your space with plants will most likely have a positive impact on your mood, as plants have been proven to make people feel happier and more at ease. So this is one of the ways I feel like I'm very stereotypical. I love flowers. I love flowers. Love, love, love. Whenever, I'm going to tell you right now, I remember every single time a friend has brought me flowers because it makes me so happy. If you're like, Tanya, I brought you flowers like 9 years ago. Do you remember? I do because I really love them. So flowers, plants. Next is journaling. We've been really promoting journaling on this podcast lately. So journaling is popular because positive affirmation and setting goals are essential to understanding yourself and setting yourself up for success. So take out time out of your day to set goals and decide what you want from your day, week, or month. It is refreshing to prioritize yourself and your needs. And journaling orders you to take time out of your day just for you. So yeah, these are some really fun ideas. I'm a big fan. All right, so I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, February 15th. The waxing gibbous moon continues to warm its feet at Leo's hearth today. Here, the moon completes a T-square to Saturn and Uranus. We are struggling to find our feet today, bouncing between the stability of Saturn and the utter chaos of Uranus. We may feel anxious to break free of our routines, but also the deep need to keep the ground under us. It's hard to balance those urges. The best thing to do is make a plan for the day, but keep it loose. Expect the unexpected, but just keep moving forward. If you leave some flexibility in your day, you'll find that it moves much easier. Your daily moon mantra is, slow down and everything you are chasing will come around and catch you. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
We have been obsessed with predicting the future ever since the dawn of civilization. We've watched the stars, gazed into crystal balls, thrown bones, and read cards with the hope of getting a glimpse of future events. We have found ways to divine with just about everything, all in an effort to better understand ourselves and our place in the magical world. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is your guidebook to a variety of divination practices. Did you know that you can divine with wine? Or that a simple pair of dice can give you prophetic insight? or that candle wax may help answer questions about your inquisitive inquiries. This book will help you predict the future through a variety of insights and sometimes unusual techniques. This greatly expanded second edition offers extended interpretations, additional reflective passages, and even more choices of curious divination to try. Learn different methods for awakening your psychic abilities to support your exploration into divination. Learn how to scry, use dowsing rods, read tea leaves, work with runes, see auras, decipher omens and clouds, and much more. A curious future can help you move forward into a mystical and inspiring path. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is now available for pre-order on Amazon and other places books are sold. All right, moving into our question of the day. This comes to us from listener Courtney. Courtney asks on the Facebook page, what is the best way you have found to feed long-term spells? I have a prosperity jar that I started for the new year. It is sealed, but I want to make some kind of offering to it for beginning work. Because it's been working so fast. Any advice? I was thinking anointing it with attraction oil, but I don't know if I should. Thanks. It depends on what's in the jar. So you typically feed. So I think there may be like a misunderstanding about what feeding means. Feeding is, okay, let's say you have, let's look at a jar spell as like a compost bin, like a compost bin, right? And in your compost, you have to add to it the ingredients that are already a part of like that ecosystem. So it gets broken down and turned in back into it. So I think you said a prosperity jar, right? So I'm just going to assume for funsies sake that you added cinnamon, basil, orange, and cinnamon. Okay. Did I already say cinnamon? Whatever. Let's just say you added basil, lemon, and cinnamon. So how you would feed that jar is you would add more of the ingredients that are already in it, right? You're umping it. You're boosting it. So attraction oil is good. I don't see anything wrong with it, but like I wouldn't feed a spell jar with something that's not already in it. Because the point is to reinvigorate the ingredients that are already in there so that their potency and the point of those ingredients don't not stop working, but don't lose their potency. So let's say you have orange in there and then basil and cinnamon. And then over the months, you put more basil, then you put more cinnamon, then you put more basil, then you put more cinnamon. Eventually, you have so much more potency in basil and cinnamon than you do the orange. So you kind of just want to keep feeding it with the properties in which it started with to keep the potency and to keep them going. And I hope that's helpful, even though I don't see anything wrong with attraction oil. But, you want to put what's already in there. I hope that helps. All right. So moving on. Are we good on time? Yeah, we are. All right. So we actually have a follow-up. This comes to us from listener Lilith. And this is in response to someone asked if they're just not cut out for witchcraft. And what I said was anyone has the ability to become a part of a spiritualism or like a spiritual thing. You may have to change a few things and you may have to reevaluate a few things. Cause if you're not connecting, if it's not working, there might be a reason why. I think that was my response. So Lilith, wanted to weigh in. She said, on to my opinion about some people not being cut out for witchcraft. As always, my two cents here. I think every human is cut out for spirituality in some way. What I'm about to say pertains to creating an effect in the universe from willpower. In a nutshell, not spirituality. Okay, so she's talking about the more actionable witchcraftian part of witchcraft. Because we can't forget, witchcraft isn't just something you do. It's not just a practice. It is a spirituality. It is a philosophy, right? You can do spell work all day long, but if you're a horrible person, it may not, you know what I mean? Like, it may not always work out the way you intend. But again, that's where spirituality comes into play. So Lilith is talking about not the spirituality part, just the actionable craft part of it. So let's see. My two cents here. I think every human is cut out for spirituality in some way. So what I'm saying pertains to creating an effect in the universe from willpower in a nutshell, not spirituality. Willpower is different in all humans such as fingerprints. What drives us, our learned experience, genetically, how we focus and how our brains work is different. It's like a muscle. And I think that most people are doing is searching for that muscle. Just like wiggling your ears, you see other people do it and you know there is a muscle there. And if you just focus and relax, you can find it and you can make it twitch. Once it twitches, your body knows where it is and how to make it twitch again. Oh yeah, it's like this is such an amazing analogy for witchcraft, because I always try to explain this and I never know how to explain it. I always say, like, you just get this feeling, and it's really not the best way to explain it, but I just like don't know how to explain it. So this is actually a really wonderful analogy. So we do all have the ability, but we also have the ability to pick up a crayon and draw something that someone else can recognize as a tree. Some of us are natural artists. Some of us can practice for years. And although we can enjoy it, what other people see will never be considered great art. Humans have a natural propensity towards something. I think magic, just like everything else, is more for some people than others. I can tell you I never had an aha moment. I just felt very disconnected on and off through the years, but never forgot where that muscle was. If anything, I dampened it down for years because it scared the shit out of me. Sometimes I intentionally didn't want to strengthen it. Looking back, I think that was a good call. I was young and frankly a little dangerous and needed to grow into myself first. That's the spirituality part. Perhaps the person that wrote in never had an aha moment because it's such a natural part of your world. You're expecting more for maybe a different sensation than what you have and just needs to be developed. Maybe start with the assumption that it is working and point it at something very specific just to see if it works or reevaluate. I'm more fascinated about Tanya's comment about helping people define or look towards mental alignment or state that best suits them. Horrible paraphrase, but that's what I heard you say, I think. I'm going to have to try this. I think I've said this before. I think we all have natural inclinations, right? I had a friend who was a dance teacher, and she would point to two students and she would say, you see this person has a lot of natural talent, but they're lazy, right? This person does not have as much natural talent, but they work really hard. And I very much view that as witchcraft. You can have all the natural ability in the world, but if you don't strengthen it and learn how to use it, it doesn't mean much, right? But then you can have people who maybe don't have as much natural ability, but they work really hard for it. Eventually, the person who works really hard can perform, for lack of a better word, the person with the natural skills. So it's all about finding that balance between your natural abilities and the work you put into it, or as, you know, Lilith says, working out that muscle, you know, because there are people who have natural athletic abilities, but that doesn't mean anything if they don't use them, you know? So yeah, great conversation. All right. So we're going to do a prompt. Let's do a journal prompt today from Evolution of a Witch, 150 journal prompts. Amazon says there's 11 left. Let's see. This one's deep. I don't even want to talk about it. Okay, hang on. What are some recent headlines and how do you feel about them? Are you feeling empowered within the current world? Ooh, so something I've heard people talking about recently are NFTs, the non-fungible tokens. And essentially, I know I'm going to upset people when I say this, it really just seems to be like an MLM for like people who are into investing. It's the hope that someone's going to buy into something and that enough people will buy into it so that it's worth more than what you paid for it, so you can get out and then hope that you make money off it. Anyways, I'm not an expert. Don't listen to me. But I've been hearing a lot about NFTs. It makes me feel very concerned because it does rely, and a lot of these really do rely on someone else having to come in after you. It has a little bit of that schemey feel to it. It really involves someone else putting money into something in order for you to profit. And in our world right now, where a lot of people are like not working and groceries and are really high and cost of living is high, yet minimum wage has been the same for however many years. Like, a lot of people are struggling. And the fact that this has become so popular that like night show hosts are promoting it to make money for themselves is like really giving me the heebie-jeebies. But again, I don't know a lot about this. All I know is it's spooking me. So I don't like that. And am I feeling empowered within the current world? Not really. The world feels very hard right now. A lot of people are really struggling, and I sometimes really struggle to have hope right now. And that's a new feeling. That's a new feeling. I've never felt that way before. I've always been very hopeful. I've always expected the best and seen the best and assumed I would walk into the best. And that's always worked out for me. This is the first time in my life that I see what the world is, and I'm losing hope. And that's a hard feeling to have and a very heavy topic to talk about on the podcast. I did not anticipate. So, the prompt journal, you know, you're either going to talk about your favorite TV shows, you're going to talk about the destruction of the world. And there are some in between. All right, witches, not to leave this on a downer, but let's do a card pull and then we'll wrap it up. So our card today is the Zebra from the Cosmic Creatures Oracle. Let's see. The Zebra is all about individuality, boldness, and rulemaking, zigging while others zag. The Zebra is an advocate for making up your own rules as you go. No stranger to hard work, much like the horse, the Zebra has impeccable focus, prioritizing alignment over hustle. The Zebra urges you to remain balanced in the face of your responsibilities. Look at where you have some fun and lighten the load. The Zebra, with the distinctive pattern it wears on, the skin aids those who are individualists. Artists and inventors and pioneers call on the Zebra when you need the surge of inspiration to feed your restless spirit. And the Zebra will charge you forward to your next venture with its defining black and white stripes. The Zebra is clear on the boundaries, willing to speak up and voice its opinion, even if it invokes conflict. Do not be afraid of deterring others. The Zebra encourages you to be loud and proud. Fortune favors the bold, after all. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything else we reference today can be found at witchpod.com, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.